everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. We're going to go way out far west Little Rock today, and we're going to talk about Wildwood Park for the Arts. Very honored to have as our guest Bevan Keating, the executive director of Wildwood. Welcome. Good to have you on here.
Good day. Good day. Thanks for having me today.
I love talking things about this. Before we get into Wildwood, though, I just, typical newspaper man, I think everybody has an interesting story, and yours is particular interesting, Bevan. You were raised in Canada, right?
Yes. It's a funny road. When you get someplace, you get a little bit older in life. And
yeah.
As a young man, you're always thinking, I'm going to do A, and then I'm going to take me to B, and that's going to take me to, maybe Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, you end up in Little Rock, Arkansas.
But give me a quick synopsis of how you got to the
how
States.
How I got down here?
How you got to the States from Canada, and then how you got to Little Rock.
Very cool.
Of all places.
Well, I got to put a little bit into context. Canada really is the little brother to the United States.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And we're always thinking, hey, look at us. We're your little brother. We want to show you that we're your friends. And Canadians and Americans have had an amazing relationship.
Oh, absolutely. My oldest son, as I told you off the air at earlier visits, in Ann Arbor, Michigan now, so he's basically on the border.
Hold on. Did you say Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Yeah.
Is there a university there?
There happens to be.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know if I can go on with this.
He's on a teaching and research fellowship at there. I know.
But he
is at that university in their law school.
Hey,
right now,
thank you for not saying that out loud. For your listeners who don't know, I come from the Ohio State University.
Yeah. Those folks up north is really
yes, exactly. Sometimes we even take the I out of some of our words. When we did my doctoral thesis, one of my funny things I gave to one of my professors was I took all the I's and took them out because you can't say that name up there. Anyways. Yeah. The Ohio State University is what first drew me to the States. I did my master's in conducting and music, actually.
Yeah.
And I was there just when they won the national championship, actually.
Ah.
Yeah. It was my first experience with football and really American culture on that level of academia kind of world. And so I spent 2 years there, and then I had an opportunity to go to either Boston or Indiana, which is a great music school. Both those schools are amazing. But the university there liked what I was doing. They said, would you please stay for another 3 years, do your doctorate here? You could teach, you became part of that. And at that time, it was a really interesting time. 9/11 was happening and all the aftermath. And so the free flow across the border was really complicated. And where I'm from, London, Ontario, which is really basically across the lake from Lake Erie,
right.
Not that far
right.
from Columbus. So it allowed me to stay, and I really want to make my, as every Canadian does, because we're the little brother, can we make an impact in the United States? Mm-hmm. Now, the whole plan, when a Canadian comes across, whether it's in the arts or an athlete or even in, any kind of like pop music or Hollywood, you get noticed in the States. And then if you want to go back to this Canada, you go back to Canada, and everyone in Canada goes, did you make it in that big country of the United States? And they say, yes, okay. Well, then that allows you to get hired in the big cities of Canada, like Toronto, Vancouver. Canadians will pick a Canadian that goes away to America or sometimes to Europe, and if they're successful there, they have a better chance to get that dream position in their home country. So that was really the impetus for me to come to the States.
Yeah. Well, speaking about my son again, it works both ways. I want you to know that he tends to watch CBC and watch hockey now, and he walks in, and on these cold mornings, he's getting his coffee at Tim Hortons. he's about half Canadian.
Listen,
CBC and going to Tim Hortons.
You talk Tim Hortons. If those don't know what that is, it's short forms Timmy's. Every first date when you're like 13, 14, every last date when you're 80 years old ends up at Tim Hortons Donuts in London, Ontario, and all through the country. And Tim Hortons, you may know this, was a hockey player.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So if your son's listening to CBC and going to Timmy's, he's my best friend. I would almost say the name of his school.
Yeah, I got you. All right, so continue. I'm interrupting you. Continue the story. How you end up getting to Little Rock.
Well, so I finished my doctorate, and I'm at the Ohio State University. They're at a quarter system. And I didn't know any of this when I came down here. So when you graduate and apply for a job, you don't actually become doctor whatever until you walk across the stage and get that diploma.
Right.
Well, at Ohio State, you walk across the stage in June. where every other university generally, you know, has semesters. They're walking across in March or April. Mm. So I was applying for all these positions, but they called me ABD, all but your diploma. So I didn't even qualify for all the positions that would keep me further north or, you know, in the area where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
And so all of a sudden I had no job. And I was like, okay, and these were those tough times right after 9/11. And at that point, if I wasn't fully sponsored by an institution, academic or private, I would have to leave the country immediately because I had used up all my, my visa processes.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my gosh, I did all this time. I'm going back to Canada, but I haven't accomplished that little brother thing. I got my doctorate. That was wonderful, but I'm not making it in the United States, which is the biggest market. If you can make it there, as everyone knows, you can make it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The United States is an amazing place to be. All that being said, I was just packing up my bags, getting ready to go, and a call came from UALR at that time by a guy named Dr. Victor Ellsworth, and they had just lost their music director.
Gotcha.
And this was in August, so they're opening in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So he's like, we need somebody, and someone said
and
that you're pretty good.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I don't know if I can. I got, you know, I have to get sponsored because I'm a Canadian citizen. And in those days, you know, we think Canada, United States, we're best buddies, and we are, but right after, again, there was a lot of paperwork.
Especially near 9/11, like
you
said. Yeah.
So it was very different. Even it was very complicated. So they made it work. I came down. I did like one rehearsal, and they hired me on the spot. And I said, okay, it looks like I'm coming to Little Rock, Arkansas. So, but even in that point, Rex, I was like, hey, I'm coming to Little Rock.
Put in a couple of years.
Exactly. Academic. You do your 6 years, you get your associate membership as a professor, then you move on to a mid-school, right?
Right.
Now I'm at Kentucky. This is great. 6 more years, full professor. Now I'm going to go back up to Canada.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, a funny thing happens along the road, which this always happens all the time. Second Presbyterian Church, very, very important part of my life and my family's life here in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Very, very important part of Little Rock.
Yeah, and they're so connected. You know, they're connected, whether it's politically or legally.
I teach LifeQuest classes out there during the summer, which brings people from every strata.
What a huge program.
That church.
Right, and Second Presbyterian Church, they reach into the community. Mm-hmm. That being said, they had lost their music director, and they asked me, would you come and, you know, audition to be the music director there. And I had to say to them, I said, well, in these days, I can only work for the university because I don't have my green card yet. I can only do what's allotted. And they said, well, but I'm willing to come substitute just for fun.
Volunteer,
yeah. But you can't pay me. So I did a couple of rehearsals and I did a Sunday for them. And someone came to me and said, we really want you to be our music director. And then I tried to explain to them again, you have to go through the university. I have none of this processes. I can't work. And did you know 3 weeks later, I had a green card?
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Second Presbyterian Church said, we want you to be our full-time director of music and ministry, and we have an investment in you.
Mm.
And when someone does that for you, you become instantly loyal and dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
And with Second Presbyterian Church and through the university at that time, we made the choice. I got married to my wife, Kira Keating, and we made a choice. We're going to make our life here in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
And that's how we got here.
Never left. So let's get to the Wildwood connection. How did you get connected there?
Funny, again.
Teaching at UALR, music director at Second Pres.
And then
how does Wildwood enter the picture?
Someone says, they say, hey, we're doing this opera. We need a conductor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is back in the woman who started the program. Her name was Ann Schulte.
Right.
And she was brilliant to start this whole new program. At that point, you think West Little Rock's far away now. Boy, Wildwood was a long ways in the woods. From what I remember,
It is such a small state, by the way, Bevan. I grew up in Arkadelphia. Ann Schulte taught at Henderson State University.
Oh, you're kidding. So the connections.
When I was a child and was involved in all the community theater presentations.
That is amazing. Yes. Yeah. So if you knew of her and know of her, she could move mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this thought that they wanted an opera theater in Central Arkansas. And she teamed up with the Cabe family, which, of course, has big stakeholders at that time in the timber industry.
Timber industry around Arkadelphia. Yeah,
exactly.
Bunch of the Cabes.
So they offered this land and built a theater there. And it was an opera theater for the first, you know, 20 years of its existence. So anyways, I got in there. I conducted a couple of operas. Things went well. And then, you know, that's it. You know, I went back. And then a few years later, they came back and said, well, we're doing this school during the summer. Can you be one of our, could you lead that for us? You're in education and you love music. This helps the kids. So I came and did that for several weeks. And then that was just, you know, just a paid position. But I started to fall in love with this place. And then many years later, they came back to me and said, would you be the artistic director of Wildwood? You seem to have a knack for putting on productions that the community thinks is important and people come and support. And that's hard to do in the arts. When you do a show, wherever you are, if you make money on that, you must be doing something illegal. Because shows don't make money.
Exactly.
What people don't understand is that the cost of copyrights and professional musicians and even costumes and sets, if you do it at a high level, it's a very expensive venture. However, you do that because of the arts and the culture and the love for it. But if you can do that in a way that supports the musicians that live in Little Rock, Arkansas, and you pay them and you pay your designers that live in Little Rock, Arkansas, and the painters and the costume people, you have impact immediately.
Yeah.
And so if you have impact, people become loyal to you, just like I'm loyal to Second Pres and to all this community here, is that they then start to invest in you as a person and your program. So when I did productions, people become connected, and all of a sudden, those shows were not just productive on the stage, they were also becoming productive financially.
Mm.
So when there was a need for an executive director of Wildwood,
right,
they said, hey, this gentleman seems to be able to pull the community together and the arts in the same way. Would you be our executive director? And that was about 7 years ago. And that's when I said yes. And then I was like, wow, this is going to take me on a whole new venture. So I basically retired from my time at UALR at that time. I'm always going to be a Second Presbyterian Church. Loyalty is everything to me.
I will always be there with them.
And so, but then Wildwood came on the horizon, and it was a very challenging start. And we have moved this incredible facility, this great community center that we're creating out in West Little Rock. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make this, with the help of Christina Munoz and Holly Judds and Jerry Wiles and our board, into the premier community center for Central Arkansas.
I tell you, I had the great pleasure shortly before Christmas of coming out, of course, and spending part of a day with you. And I have written some columns that are going to run, and I'm really excited about the vision, because you have it. What really happened, as most of our listeners know, when Wildwood was created, when that land was donated, it was really out in the woods. And with the growth of Little Rock going west, you are totally surrounded now pretty much by residential areas. So in a sense, you're kind of the central park for West Little Rock.
Yes, absolutely. And the exciting opportunity for this is that we are not just going to be known as a theater.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we have a huge following that know us just as a park. There's 100 acres there.
Oh, and it's beautiful if you haven't been, and it's open to the public, right?
Always open to the public. And what we really like about that is that's part of our nonprofit wing. You know, we fundraise, and any assets that come in from shows or from summer camps go back to kids who, you know, conceivably can't afford the access to the arts. Mm-hmm. So we take care of that, whether that's through tickets to shows, private lessons, or even our summer camps that we offer. And then on the nature side, especially when COVID hit, we really hit our stride, where the opera theater in the time was they would keep the doors closed all year and really work towards one big singular goal,
right,
which would be a festival they would do in the summer. When COVID hit, we had to change immediately. People, only place we could get together was what? Remember, it was outside.
Yeah, exactly.
And so
exactly,
all the weddings were canceled, all the engagements, all the gatherings, birthday parties, and all of a sudden, when they allowed outdoor access, we realized we had an asset for the community, and that was the park part, mm-hmm, Wildwood Park. So I have the park on one side, I have the theater. Now here's the exciting part. The exciting part is that all this growth around us is all done with families and new businesses. You know, you can take a left at Costco now and find where Wild was.
Oh, absolutely.
We're back in the day, you couldn't find Wild.
But now, I mean, it's bumper-to-bumper traffic.
It is. And if you just go to the Costco and take left, 1 mile down, you run into Wildwood.
Yeah.
All the new subdivisions are there. So here's my challenge as the executive director and my staff is, how do we facilitate not just the arts? How do we become a impact on the community of West Little Rock?
Mm-hmm.
And if you live or are around or invest or have your business in West Little Rock, if you go there, you know that it is basically the Bentonville of Central Arkansas.
Absolutely. One of the most dynamic neighborhoods in this part of the country.
Absolutely. Right, so the growth possibilities is immense. Mm. And we found that we are situated in a way that we're going to have what I call impact, or have the ability to facilitate the arts, the nature, and larger community things that I'm probably going to let maybe at a future interview, Christina Munoz and Holly Judd talk to, because they're my developing communication people.
Yeah.
They have all these wonderful ideas and goals of where we're going to be in 3 and 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And but to share what we're going to do, we want to make sure we have an impact on the community at large, not just from theater, not just in nature. We want to be the central part of West Little Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
That's our dream.
Well, you are perfectly positioned for it. You've got beautiful nature trails already. You've got gardens that master naturalists have worked on through the years. You've got a lake there. You told me there's fish in it.
Yes. We get to stock Arkansas Game and Fish. They were partners with us. We stock it, and it's catch and release.
Yeah.
But it is a great spot because we have great access to the water. It's easy. There's not like trees and bushes on several of the banks. And if you go with your first grandson or your granddaughter and you catch that first fish, that family will always remember they got that first fish and that bite for, you know, hunting and game right here at Wildwood Park for the Arts in the city. It's basically going to be inside the city.
Yeah.
What a safe environment for families to realize that you can do this right inside. As a Canadian, we love hunting, fishing, canoeing,
exactly.
Outdoor sports. And when I came and saw this theater, of course, I was the conductor, or I was the music director, or I was the executive director. I focus at first on the theater. And then I looked around and realized I have 100 acres here that is not being used to the greatest of its abilities. And therefore, I was like, well, Canadians in Arkansas, we all love the outdoors.
Uh-huh.
What a great thing. Can you imagine West Little Rock's going to keep building, and we're going to have acres of green space and lake and access to that right inside this heart of the city?
Yeah. Yeah, and I know you're going to leave part of this, like you said, for a future show that we're going to be doing with Holly and Christina. But I've got to tell you, I was excited about your really long-term vision, because you've talked about partnering, which I'm a big fan of partnerships, and partnering with perhaps private sector investors for everything from a restaurant to pickleball. I mean, they're
absolutely
pretty big dreams, right?
They are big dreams, but I think they're starting to come into clarity in us as a board for the Wildwood Park for the Arts and our community itself. If you take an example, I look at the Jones Center up in Fayetteville.
Yes.
Now, that's been around for a while, but, you know, it's a partnership.
Right in downtown Springdale.
That's right. You know why I know that? You're going to know this because I played hockey up there.
I was going to talk about that in a second.
There's only two rinks in the entire state.
That's right.
So,
one's at the Jones Center.
Now, I don't know if this is ever going to happen, but, you know, this is my Canadian dream for Arkansas. Wouldn't it be great to have a junior hockey team, or get those Riverblades back, and we'll put them right in West Little
right
Rock?
Wildwood,
you know, so, but, you know, those kind of collaborations between private industry and nonprofit community-based organizations, that is where the future falls. Because, you know, the political whims go back and forth, but it's hard to ascertain large amount of funding anymore from states and governments because, you know, they have other focuses.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you have a combination between private and nonprofit, then they mutually help each other, then it gives you even more connection to that community. They have a stake. Private, you know, if you ask me for some money, Rex, I'll give you some money.
Yeah.
But you know, if you come to me and say, I want to partner with you for long-term 10 years, and we're going to put the best restaurant ever in West Little Rock, and it's going to be right beside a theater on a lake, overlooking the lake, it's totally exclusive, that's the kind of people I want to work with.
Yeah.
And with the nature of the dreaming, and we have a bunch of people who are going to, from the community, who are going to dream, what do you see this land being used for? You know, it could be in partnership with all the companies that are still hold it, like the Potlatch, Deltic, which are wonderful. They have been so good to Wildwood Park for the Arts. But, you know, reaching out also to the, you see how many banks are now built?
It's financial quarter, you know.
Absolutely. Park, again, and, you know, so all the business, all the exciting things that keep a community vital, we want to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to facilitate. We want to be the center of that synergy that's being created in West Little Rock.
Makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got to back up because we were talking about your story. And as I told you earlier when we've visited, I'm an old sports writer and kind of still consider myself that. So as you mentioned, one part of Canada you couldn't shake is you're a hockey coach also in Arkansas, of all places.
Oh,
and it's been pretty successful. Talk about that just a minute, because it's unusual.
Okay, but I
don't interview many hockey coaches.
No, this is great. This is great. I love this story, and if we could have 5 hours of this, because if you're a hockey player's talking, you know, you're supposed to have a beer right beside you here. I apologize to those who don't drink beer, but we have these things called beer leagues, and this is when you talk all about the game and your life and your kids and all that kind of stuff. But that being said, so I thought I was moving to Arkansas. One of my only things was, I'll never play hockey again. This makes me so sad. I'll never play again. But for whatever reason, I threw my hockey equipment in my car and I came down here. My wife was still up in Canada because we're trying to figure out, is this even going to work?
Is, you know,
with the visas and things.
Yeah.
And so down I go, and I go to this place called the Skadium. Well, most of us know where the Skadium is. It's been there forever. And I happen to walk in the roller derby side. Okay. And all this loud music, bum, 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 bum. And people are skating to disco music. And I'm going, here's this little guy from, you know, from Canada with his hockey equipment going, can someone tell me where the ice rink is?
Where's the actual ice?
It was hilarious.
Not a skating rink.
So they finally get me around the roller rink, and I go up there and get my equipment on. I said, well, I don't know. We call these places barns in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And we love our skadium barn.
Right.
Okay. But
right.
The adjective barn, probably you can visualize what that means.
Yeah.
But,
yep.
You know, but it's ours and we love it. So we go out there and I'm skating and there's these giants skating so fast up and down the ice. And I was like, where are these guys coming from? And so I look around, I go out there and I do pretty well for an old guy. I'm doing okay. And they're asking me, you know, obviously you played some hockey before. Yeah, I'm from Canada. Well, they were all from Canada or they were from Boston. And what I found out was, it was the summer that we had two hockey teams here, right?
Oh, absolutely.
What were the names? Riverblades and Cats?
The Riverblades and the...
One played at...
I took my boys to both of them.
Yeah, one played
at
Barton.
The new arena and one played at Barton.
Yeah, so those two teams, they competed, I guess, and they both folded. Well,
yeah,
all
they
those
two different leagues, Western Professional and Eastern.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. And so all those guys who came to play here, they were trying to get on teams. So they were keeping on shape. So I walk out there
so
and
you
I'm playing
a bunch of professionals.
Well, the 15 professional giants. These guys are huge compared to me. And I was like, this is hockey in Little Rock? Sign me up.
The Glacier Cats.
Glacier Cats. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And, you know, they were so typical. No face mask, three teeth are gone, you know, stitches down their face. I was right at home. This is when the first day I fell in love with Little Rock, I tell you. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the Air Force base is close by.
Oh, absolutely.
And so my kids came along. I had twins, and I wanted them to learn how to play hockey, the boy and the girl, Brock and Blythe. So we go out there to start to learn to skate. And then I found out there are a lot of people who come to the Air Force
raised
base.
Up north and more
they
skate.
Bring their kids.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, we had this small group of families, and we have about 70 families now. And it's called the Arkansas AHA, Arkansas Hockey Association. And we have 70 families. We have teams from U8 all the way to junior varsity, which is 16 and under. And we have teams that play in St. Louis. And the team that I'm responsible for is the oldest one. We started it up again. Leagues here kind of start and stop. But now we got this great energy that's going through us. We have kids from 8 to 16.
How neat.
So it's really fun. And I'm going to brag just a little bit. We have my son is now playing hockey in Chicago because he came through the Little Rock Association.
Wow.
We have a young man named Matthew, and he's playing in Birmingham, Alabama.
Ah.
We have a young girl who's playing AAA hockey up in Connecticut, is full ride. She's going to go Division I. Her name is Emery. And several other kids who really—
Out of Little Rock.
Out of Little Rock.
All
and,
places.
You know, so the majority of the kids are learning to play and love the game, but we were also able to elevate these kids and give them opportunities, which when I come full circle, that's kind of what I like to see at Wildwood. When you provide music opportunities or lessons or performance opportunities, that does open the door for those kids, that's the nonprofit side of us, to have those look forward moments where I could go to university and I could actually do this. You know, if you can start hockey in Little Rock, Arkansas, and play in Chicago, and you're going to go Division One because you're a great female hockey player, a lot of things can happen in this city. And that's
absolutely.
And that's why my family says to you, you're still in Little Rock. Why? I say, because everything is possible in Little Rock, and it can still happen.
Yeah. You know, I've got, before we run out of time, I got to get back to Wildwood. We've talked about the long-term vision, but let's talk about what's coming up in the next year or so. I got to tell you, not my skill set, so don't look for me, but I did love when I saw you're doing auditions for Singing in the Rain, looking for performers age 55 and older. Let's hear it for us old guys.
Yes, if you have that soundtrack on your radio, I want to hear cheers right at that point, okay?
Yeah.
And a heart monitor, too. That should go beeping. But anyways, This is a whole new concept that actually the music producers, people who own the rights to shows.
Well, I just love that when I saw you were doing that.
So we're going to do auditions coming up. And in June, it's almost like a summer camp for adults.
Yeah.
And you got to be 55. You got to show me your birth certificate so you can actually be in the show. You got to be 55. That comes from the people who produce the show. And we're going to do Singing in the Rain auditions. tap dancing, and we'll have people from 55. I already know that we have one person who's 81 who's auditioning to be that.
Oh, wow. And, you know, so 81.
That's 81. So this is going to be.
I love it.
It'll be just a great way. And again, if that shows that Wildwood can communicate and be part of, you know, the community as a whole, that's a great thing. I will tell you, we have something super exciting. Again, super community-based. And that is our production of Come From Away. Mm. We talked earlier in the interview about my time coming to the States from Canada during the time of 9/11 and being in the States and in Canada at the same time. I worked in a town called Gander, Newfoundland, and that is where all the planes that were rerouted had to land that day.
Ah.
And if you've ever been to Gander, which many people haven't, unless you're military, if you're military, Gander's well known. It's a huge airport, but a small little town. And they had over 7,000 American passengers, and passengers from all over the world, landing Gander on that morning of 9/11. And then the community had to figure out, what are we going to do with all these people in a small little town? Mm. And they wrote a musical about it because the relationships that developed between the Americans and the Canadians showed the best part of humanity versus the worst time in some of our history.
Yeah.
And so Come From Away is the musical that's going to be produced. We're going to do children's shows and high school shows September 9th and 10th. We open on the 11th, which will be a huge event, community organized.
Absolutely. 9/11.
It's going to be a big deal. And then, of course, we run that for 2 weeks after. So we're very excited about that. And there'll be lots of information about that coming in the future.
Yeah. In the near term, I see you've got Pirates of Penzance coming up in March.
Yes.
The 6th to the 15th. Talk about that.
We're harkening back to our opera roots.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a super fun, silly. It's in English. People will love it. And if you love Gilbert and Sullivan, it's a very fun show. We do that. And then we have our summer camps come up. We have
that was you beat me to it. I was going next. You've got it so much in the summer. Everything from nature and arts camps to summer academy.
Exactly. And the Singing the Rain is part of that. So we have Singing the Rain. We have a camp called WAMA, which is nature and the arts for young children. And then we have a camp that's triple threat. We have a relationship with one of our private entities, which is Rock City, an amazing a dance company run by Kristen Pitts. And she is a rock star. And they bring their dancers with our singers and actors, and we do this camp, and over 100 kids will be there, and we train them for 3 weeks, and we're doing a version of The Wizard of Oz, and that'll be open to the public as well. So our summer is all taken up, and then we go flying into the fall.
You start as early as like 7-year-olds and all the way up
all
to
the
teenagers.
Way up. Yes, sir. Yeah, we all the 18
different programs.
And really, I'm kind of teasing myself about the senior show for Singing in the Rain. But if you look at them, if we have 7-year-olds, literally up to 81. We are doing what a nonprofit, what Wildwood, I believe, is meant to do, and that's being part, a very active part of the community of West Little Rock.
All right. About to run out of time.
Oh,
I knew
goodness.
It would go fast, but before we do, let you be that visionary again. If you have your way, tell me where you see Wildwood. Of course, I see continued growth. I think we all do for West Little Rock, but where you see Wildwood 5 years from now and then 10 years from now?
In 5 years, I want us to be the heartbeat of West Little Rock. And that can mean so many things. Arts, education, nature and the arts, of course. But also, I want to foster that connection between private entities and nonprofit. If we can make that area of West Little Rock owned by everyone who's there, it's not mine. Mm. I'm the director. It's not the boards. It's everyone's. If it's West Little Rock's, I see restaurants, I see playgrounds, I see access to the lake, I see all those things happening which are recreational. But now, why not have a preschool that's there that has arts education as part of their component? Why not have dance studios where they can then have their studios on location and then move to the stage when they do the recitals and their performances? Why not have pickleball? Why not have all these things that are recreational and educational, but also bring in private entities to help create that, produce it, and of course share in the revenues that come from that?
Yeah, it is an exciting vision, and you've certainly got the team in place. I mentioned that we'll be having Christina Munoz and Holly Judd on a future show, but talk a little bit about what it means to be able to bring on people like that and really, really up your game from a staffing standpoint.
It's critical. Christina Munoz, obviously very well known in the community, for her time in front of the camera and behind the camera. But what you may not know about her is that she's a professional artist as well. Mm-hmm. She came from Minnesota before she became TV and media and a reporter. She was a dancer and choreographer professionally. Mm-hmm. So when you can combine someone who has the love of the arts with a professional background, everyone can love the arts.
Yeah.
Professional background and a professional communications background, what an asset to Wildwood Park for the arts and ultimately for West Little Rock. Holly Judd is someone who brings that kind of private entity business side of thing. Her and her husband own their own pharmacies. Mm-hmm. And so they have that private drive, that drive of you have to succeed. This is where where your money comes from.
Right.
When you have to feed your kids. Then on the other side, her family, her son, Jax, was part of the programming from a very young age. And then he would bring his friends and they would bring their friends. And they very quickly realized that Wildwood Park for them is their family place.
Yeah.
And so if you have private business and someone who knows this is their family's place and you put that energy together and you synergize that with Christina Munoz and then with the land we have in West Little Rock, really these two are going to change the direction of Wildwood Park. That 10-year plan, I don't even want to go there because we will not recognize Wildwood Park in that 10-year.
Wow.
I'm That's very exciting. Excited. Super excited.
I think you've got a team in place that can pull it off. Ben, thank you so much. I love telling stories. I'll have to get you back.
Oh, I would love to. And let's talk some more hockey.
All right.
That'd be great.
That sounds good. By the way, my son's 2-year fellowship teaching at Michigan. I said the name.
This was going so well.
It comes to an end. And he has accepted a full-time, you being from an academic background, understand you end up going anywhere where the best job is.
Absolutely.
Actually, at the University of South Carolina. But he's still a hockey fan, so he's going to have to find a hockey
He's going to have
Carolina
to find
a
home.
Somehow.
He's going to have to find a home. And just so everyone knows, I recognize that school up north is an absolutely fantastic school. It's a great institution.
All right. Bevan, thank you so much. Bevan Keating, he's the executive director of Wildwood Park for the Arts. I'm Rex Nelson. Thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Southern Pride Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.